Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our church when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah 2 called Jonah's Song.
We're going to continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Jonah. So if you turn to Jonah, two ways to get to it. You can go the long way, which is find the middle of your Bible, and then start turning towards the New Testament. You're going to pass up Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Just before Micah. If you want to start the other way, go to Matthew and go backwards. Probably the easier way to go, but I haven't quite memorized all that backwards yet. So, then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. That's tonight's, this morning's lesson. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we want to pray. And we don't want to pray just when we're in trouble, but we know that sometimes when we're in trouble, Lord, those have been some of the most earnest times of prayer. And we're going to see in Jonah 2:1 that Jonah prayed from the stomach of a fish. Talk about an urgent prayer. We've heard of prayer closets, Lord, but when we think of being there, we think of how urgent the prayer is. And we also know that Jonah, as he tells this story, as he gives an account, he was in the sea for a portion of the time, and the sea was stormy, and then it finally calmed down, but he appears to have sunk to the bottom. And so many people in our world have hit rock bottom, or they're on the way. And sometimes that's just the best place to pray, because when we come to the end of ourselves, that's where you begin. Sometimes we do fight you, Lord. Sometimes we do see that storms have come into our lives because we've run from you. And then there's other times, Lord, when it's just circumstances, it's just this world. But faith is often born in the cauldron of adversity, and sometimes it is refined there. It is often, if not always, refined right there. But Lord, as we look today at Jonah, we pray that you'd have us to have open hearts to what you would say to us. This is not just an account of a man and a fish. This is so much more. This is about love, God's love. This is about God's passion for the lost. This is about obedience. This is about doing what you've called us to do. Jonah says at the end of the psalm that he writes, what I have vowed, I will pay. What I have said, I will do, I will do. And Lord, sometimes we say things, but then we don't do them, and you've got to cause some storms for us to realize that what we vowed to you, we need to pay. It's not like you hold us our feet to the fire. Oftentimes you'll let us run so great distances, but I believe it's your love that compels us back. And so, Lord, as we look at Jonah, just help us to remember what you've done for us and help us to apply what you would say to your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then Jonah prayed. So let's look in our Bibles to the book of Jonah. We're going to start in chapter 1, verse 17, and we'll segue into chapter 2. The men in verse 16 of chapter 1 feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They made their vows. When Jonah had gone into the sea, verse 15, it stopped its raging. And then we ended last week, and the Lord, Jonah 1, 17, appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now you can imagine that if you were one of the sailors in that particular episode, as you saw Jonah go off the side of the boat, you had to be saying to yourself, he's done. It's all over this guy's dust. Now we don't know if Jonah had swimming lessons, but we know that the ocean was stormy. We know that they were in the middle of the ocean. We know there's a lot of potentially treacherous creatures in the ocean. And we know to the Jewish mind, the ocean, though created by God, represented for them a mysterious, dark place. Often the Bible compares the ocean to the abyss. It's the idea of the power, sometimes even of evil, though God's ultimately in control of it. Sometimes when a storm came, for example, on the Sea of Galilee, there was a fear. There was a fear that came to the Jewish heart and mind. And so when Jonah plunged into the water, he probably was saying to himself, as I mentioned last week, I'm dead. I'm ready to die. And the people who were looking at him probably felt the same way. He's gone. He's dead. Jesus said that he would not give a sign to those who demanded a sign of him, to the evil and adulterous generation that was constantly demanding a sign, though he had given them so many signs, remember? I mean, miracle after miracle, and then they said, Lord, show us a sign from heaven. How many signs do you need? Right? And he said, no sign will be given to this evil and adulterous generation except of the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster, 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus believed Jonah's account was historical. He called Jonah the prophet. And he said, this is the sign. I'm going to go into the tomb and people are not going to believe that I'm going to come out. As a matter of fact, my own apostles, when told by the women of the things that happen on Easter morning, will say that is nonsense. They will see it as just crazy tales. They will not believe that I will come forth from the tomb. But as Jonah came forth from a place that seemed unfathomable that he could reemerge from, so in the same way, I will reemerge from the grave, though everyone doubts that I will, and I will be triumphant over a place that people don't escape from. Amen? That's how it's the sign. Jesus said, you want a sign? Destroy my body, and in 3 days, remember, I will raise it up again. And John says he spoke of the temple of his body. Greek word is soma, his physical body, the body that died, that bore the wounds in his hands and his feet, would rise. And in the same way that Jonah rose from a place that people said, no way, he's done, he's gone, he's dead. So Jesus would do the same thing. So the book of Jonah is a book of hope. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of being triumphant over something that seems impossible because it was impossible for death to hold Jesus Christ because he's the Prince of Life. And so when people see the fish and see Jonah, they say, look, there's the power of God in a situation that seems impossible. And Jesus said, because I live, what? You will live. People watching the cross, people watching the crucifixion, people watching what happened to Jesus said, it's over, we're done, let's move on, I'm going fishing. But Jesus would emerge from the tomb because he is God. And he would emerge from the tomb by the power of God. There are so many stories in the Christian life when it seems like people just came back from the dead, if you will. Story after story of people who were at the end of themselves, people who everything was lost, and then God said, are you ready to reemerge to life now? Are you ready to rise? The Bible compares your own spiritual experience to a resurrection. You've been raised to newness of life. It anticipates your future bodily resurrection. And so every Christian, in one sense, has risen from the belly of the fish, from an impossible situation, from death. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but he made us, remember, alive. So then, verse 1, Jonah prayed. Jonah 2:1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Now, a lot of people feel swallowed up by life. A lot of people feel like they've hit rock bottom. And remember, the pagan sailors were trying to get Jonah to pray, but Jonah was napping, remember, in the boat. And they said, hey, what are you doing down here? Everybody's praying to their God with a small g. You pray to your God. But Jonah apparently didn't pray. They were crying out. The pagans were crying out to God, but Jonah didn't pray. But what the sailors could not do, the fish did do. But remember, the fish was not just punishment or a discipline on Jonah. The fish actually saved Jonah. The fish became the vehicle by which God would bring Jonah back from the dead, if you will, and back into his plan, and a vehicle to get him at least to the shore and back to his destination. Sometimes we hit rock bottom, as it were. We're at the bottom. The waters are engulfing us, and we pray. We say, Lord, would you deliver me? We pray those fervent prayers. But sometimes the vehicle that God uses for our deliverance is not what we might expect. We say, Lord, could you send a yacht with a nice cushy sofa and some of those little leg warmers? I've been in the ocean for a while. What God sent was an unexpected vehicle. And sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? We pray, and the Lord answers our prayer, but not in the way that we expected. And we say, now I'm even more uncomfortable. Right. Because God wants you to pray. He wants to get you to the place of destination. And as I mentioned in my prayer, I've heard of a prayer closet, but a prayer fish. A little bit new. But you get the point. And Jonah prayed. He prayed, notice, to the Lord, his God.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people? Check out Paul's story.
So it's 2019, right before COVID. I'm driving to Orange County Airport, 4 in the morning. Turn on the radio, it's on 99.5 FM, and I hear this pastor speak the Word of God like I've never heard spoken. So I call my bride, wake her up, it's 4 in the morning, and said, hey, do a search on Pastor Michael Lance at Living Truth, because I think we're going to move wherever this church is. It's probably going to be in the Midwest or in the South somewhere. So I fly into Chicago a few hours later, give my bride a call and say, hey, where's Michael Lance located? She says, Corona. And I said, where's that? She said, Paul, it's Corona, California, where we've been living for 16 years, right down the road. That was 5 years ago. And my family and I are deeply involved here at Living Truth and with all of you. And the Lord's really transforming my family and I. And I believe that Pastor Michael teaches the Word of God so you can understand it and apply it with a love of Jesus. And I think it's wild how listening to a radio station for just a few minutes can actually change your life.
To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And Jonah prayed. He prayed, notice, to the Lord, his God. Jonah's God was the true God, and for so many, sometimes through pain, through sometimes bad counsel, bad decisions. Sometimes people, they go on hiatus from prayer. They say, I don't want to pray anymore. Sometimes people honestly feel disappointed. And they say, I'm not praying. I'm not going to church. And they attempt to run from God. But the fish was God's answer to Jonah's prayer. Because once Jonah got into the ocean, his whole life changed. He realized, I don't want to die. You ever been there before? I don't want to die. I've said a lot of words. Maybe I've been angry at God for whatever reason, but I don't want to die. And so he cried out. What's the best place to pray? Three ministers were having a debate, and there was a telephone repairman. He was working on the phone system in the background, and they were debating. One minister said, well, the best way to pray is you must fold your hands and kind of point towards heaven, because that's the greatest form of worship. And then the other pastor said, no, on your knees is the most godly way to pray. And the other pastor said, that's nonsense. The best thing to do is get on your face, eat some carpet, and show your true humility before the Lord. That's the best position of prayer. And the telephone repairman couldn't help himself, and he finally chimed in, and he said, you know what the best place of prayer for me has been? They said, what? He said, hanging from a telephone pole, 40 feet in the air by 1 foot, when I slipped one time and I was hanging there, that was the best position of prayer for me. And the three ministers, I believe, had to nod their head. See, sometimes when you're in the washing machine in life is the most fervent prayers that you pray. And sometimes, you know, God has you there for a reason, because he knows that he will become, hopefully, your singular focus. He prayed to the Lord, his God. Verse 2. And he said, I called out. The Hebrew word for call out here means to cry aloud or call aloud. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help. The Hebrew word here means to scream. It has the idea of calling out with a loud voice for help. I cried for help from the depth of, would you notice, Bible students, Sheol. I cried from the depth of Sheol, and thou did hear my voice. Now, I want you to know that verses 2 through 9 are what's called Jonah's psalm. And it's very similar to many psalms that you'll see in the Bible, where Jonah prayed this, and people say maybe an abridged version of his prayer, maybe the full prayer. He obviously wrote it down later. But this is called Jonah's psalm. When I first got saved, I wasn't a big reader. I was into sports and doing my own thing. But after I got saved, I began to write poems. And it wasn't like me to write poems. And I would have this burden to share these poems. And I would come up to the pastor frequently and say, the Lord gave me another poem. Can I share it? And the pastor would roll his eyes. All right, you got another one. And one time I said to a friend of mine, I said, you know what? I don't know where these poems come from. And he said, yes, you do. Amen. Yes, you do. And then I realized, yeah, they came from the realization that God saved me in a radical way. And so here's this fish prepared, and Jonah is calling out to the Lord in his distress, and the Lord intervenes, not in first-class accommodations, as we said. But now he's in this tight, uncomfortable position. And the fish was the vehicle of God's salvation. And the psalmist writes, Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. One author calls Jonah's experience a ticket on the Whaleway Express. You might say, since we don't know it was a whale, the Fishway Express. But I have a question for you. Have you ever written a poem or a song after you became a Christian, written some stuff down and thought, where did that come from? That's not me. No, that's God. That's God inspiring songs of deliverance from your heart. And so many have commented on the book of Jonah, especially chapter 2 here, that there's a similarity to the Psalms. I want you to turn, hold your finger in Jonah and turn to Psalm 40. The Psalms are a great place to go when we're in distress, aren't they? Many of you have discovered that. But this shows us something about Jonah. Jonah knew his Bible, because Jonah's psalm is very similar in content and phrasing to a lot of the psalms written by David and others. This is Psalm 40, verse 1. It says these words. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put, Psalm 40, verse 3, a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. Think of Jonah and Nineveh. Think of him being regurgitated on the seashore. Think of his story. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will what? Trust in the Lord. Now, there are many psalms I could take you to, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read Psalm 5, verse 2. It says, turn back to Jonah, if you will. Heed the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to thee I do pray. In 2 Samuel 22, David spoke these words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Listen to it. 2 Samuel 22, 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take my refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, thou dost save me from violence. Verse 4, 2 Samuel 22. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of Sheol, almost the image of the cords of death coming, trying to wrap themselves around David. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice. And my cry for help came into his ears.
You've been listening to Jonah's Song, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That's Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah, chapter 2. If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to Walk in Truth on our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, just a reminder that we have pastors on staff that would love to speak with you if you need prayer or counsel. If you're having a hard time and need someone to talk to, or maybe you just don't feel like talking but could use some prayer, call Walk in Truth Tuesdays through Fridays during daytime hours at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, maybe you find yourself right in the midst of a storm right now, and you would say, you know what, this could be because I've been being disobedient. And maybe the Lord has allowed a storm, caused a storm in my life. What do you do if you've come to the realization that, you know what, this storm is of my doing? Well, Jonah had a solution, right? toss me off and it'll calm down. And indeed it did, but it calmed down for the sailors, but not for Jonah. See, Jonah would end up at the destination God had for him. And he could have avoided the storm and all that went with it. Of course, we wouldn't have the full story if he had just gone the first time, right? And you might say, well, how can I make things right if I don't want to end up being swallowed up by a custom-made sea monster? What do I do? You know, whenever we take ownership and we discipline ourselves, as it says in 1 Corinthians, then the Lord won't discipline us. In other words, if we realize, well, here I am and the waves are crashing and the storm is, you know, bursting forth, and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to discipline myself by repenting and getting right and going in the direction you'd have me to go, well, then that's how you solve it, right? That's how the storm ends, is you just get right with the Lord. That solves everything. It won't take away every problem in your life, but it will solve the spiritual problem and the reason, if it is a storm from God, that it's occurring. This is Pastor Michael Lance. And we've gone through Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to get into Jonah chapter 2, and we'll be talking about Jonah's song as he is going to sing from the belly of the sea monster. Talk about a motivating reason to pray. If ever there was a reason to be motivated to pray, it'll be in Jonah chapter 2. And I pray that you'll tune in. Hey, you can share these messages. I hope you've downloaded the Walk in Truth app on your app store. It's free. Download it today. You can keep up to date on all the messages. Listen on demand. Listen to past messages. Share them with a friend. Become a monthly partner. It's all available on the Walk in Truth app. Download it in the app store today. And we'll see you tomorrow.
And don't forget that Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $40 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah 2, called Jonah's Song.
Apparently, he went to the bottom of the sea and the fish scooped him up down there. And so he says, NIV, verse 6, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever, but you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. The pit is a similar idea to Sheol or Hades. And you remember Jesus said, the gates of what? Hades will not prevail against the church. And Jonah says, the earth beneath me, it seemed like it was going to bar me in forever.
I'm Mike Massaro, and thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.